We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks, $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code. Welcome to Light Years. It's weird. It is weird podcasting without the Warriors in the playoffs.
You know, it hurts my soul, but I will say, as you and I have sat here, you sat here 100%, I sat here, what, maybe 91%, maybe 83% of the games, that it has been less stressful for my mental well-being to watch the NBA playoffs, though I wish the Warriors were in there so I can be mad at something every night. But it does hurt me. But hey, at least you and I, at least Warriors fans left to hear with something, right? We got Steph got the clutch player of the year. So there is that for us. There's that. I knew you'd be mad about that.
I have two thoughts on the clutch player of the year award. One, congratulations, Steph. You deserved something for what you just pulled off this season, carrying this dog shit show to 46 wins. But two, this is a fake award. I can't truly get behind it. When did they make it up? 2 years ago? This is one of Adam's gimmicks.
Right.
Adam's big on the gimmicks. Just new things. Sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. Let's do a play-in. Let's do a
in-season tournament they did
too. Yeah, let's do in-season tournement. Let's change the way we do the All-Star game. Let's all this stuff also. It's like, what if we just officiate the game more earnestly, which they are starting to do. That's been probably the most enjoyable part of the playoffs, where I'm like, wow, this looks like basketball. Defense is being played, a little physicality is being allowed.
Yeah. But you know, I agree with you, unless it's Steph winning it, then I disagree. And I gotta say, this is the best award ever created. And this at least gives him something to walk away from, like you said, after the season, which, you know, I gotta say, like, do you think Steph finished the season? He seemed like he was chilling, but I gotta believe that he's probably the angriest person in that locker room that the season ended the way it did, because, you know, he wore down, he got tired. I'm not gonna say he gave up, Sam, but that Kings game to me was just like, I think Steph was just like, look, I know we're not as good, so what's the point? And you know, it's nice to get him an award, consolation prize. You know,
yeah,
he did one of those.
Yeah, that's a larger topic.
Yeah,
I mean, he played the most minutes he's played since 2016-17. Ooh. So actually, since 2016, I believe. But anyway, the point is, he should not be playing more minutes at 36 than he played at 29. You could see he was worn down. The roster was a joke. Their problems up and down it. We can relitigate if they should have done something at the trade deadline or last All-Star break. I think you agree with me. What is the point? Let's just focus on what they're going to do this time. Or, of course, what they're not going to do. No. but, you know, it is what it is. There's also been a few interesting things. So I'm going to give you some observations. I've been thinking about – I've been watching these games. I've been really enjoying it. What's been your favorite series so far? I know we're recording this Thursday right before the games kick off or before the games are finalized. So this is before Lakers Nuggets game three. So we're not that far into it, but what's kind of got you the most juice so far?
Oh, it's an easy one. It's an easy one. Lakers Nuggets have been the best basketball. That last game too,
was classic.
Classic. Classic. Yeah. I mean, just outside of the fact that the Lakers losing gives me a little extra sum to feel every night. Mm-hmm. I'm sleeping like a baby. But just outside of that, I don't know. The Nuggets, you know, we had Ethan on. The Nuggets are the most fun team to watch in basketball right now. And then objectively watching LeBron do what he did down in crunch time was, I mean, it's kind of like watching Steph where you're just like, man, the dude's old as hell. He's kind of, he's not hanging on, but there's only so many years left and he's out here on the road, you know, and he's the best player on that team right now going down the stretch. AD's exhausted. He's cooked, right? So I don't know. That's been the best series. You got some different?
No, I think that's been the best one. At least the first two games. The second game two was the best game of the playoffs to date. And it might be the best game of the playoffs. It's a classic. Come back 20, get insane clutch play on both ends of the floor with a walk-off shot. Like, you just don't top that. There's a lot of reasons. But taking that one out, I've been enjoying. I find Thunder Pelicans very interesting.
Really?
It may end up being a short series. I think game one was interesting. I'm not saying it's been the cleanest basketball or the best basketball, but I'm fascinated by that matchup. You know, I'm fascinated by it because I'm watching it as a Warriors fan, and I see the Pelicans starting two third-year players. I look across at the Oklahoma City Thunder. When they closed game one, this was their lineup. Four guards. One was a rookie. One was a second-year player, and their center was a second-year player. And I'm watching all this, and all I can think of is how badly they fucked up the 2000 and 2022 draft, 2021 draft. I know we've debated it ad nauseum. The 2020 draft, Wiseman's gone, bust, F minus for the Warriors. It is what it is. Even if he has a good career somewhere else, it's an F minus for the Warriors. Just there's no other way to grade that. You drafted a guy number two, you dumped him a year and a half, 2 years later. Definition of an F. The other one's more nuanced because Kuminga and Moody are clearly going to have long NBA careers, and they might even end up being high-level players. But even the most optimistic fan would have to admit they are not ready to contribute in a playoff rotation the way Trey Murphy and Herb Jones do, the way Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren do. And that's really kind of where the mess up is. You didn't draft players who could help Steph while he's in this window. You decided not to trade the picks for veterans. Okay, we can debate that. But the players you took are still not helping 3-4 years in. And you know what it reminded me of? Know who started two third-year players and a fourth-year player to win a championship?
Who?
The 2015 Warriors. The 2015 Warriors had year three Draymond Green, year three Harrison Barnes in the starting lineup, both of them, by the way. Year four Klay Thompson, and off the bench giving some minutes was year three Festus Ezeli. Those guys are the same amount of time in the league that 2020 and 2021 pick are. Now, do I expect any of them to be Draymond or Klay? Like, that's unrealistic.
Yep.
But it points to the overarching point, which is the league's young. Yes, you don't expect young players to take over, but they had three lottery picks. One's gone. And the other two, it's to be seen what their role is in like big time basketball, not in eating minutes in January basketball, in like actual basketball.
Okay, so this dovetails into my first thought. I know we're going three each today. I know I have one that works kind of perfectly with you, but let me ask you this question. How much does Trey Murphy and Herb Jones play on the Warriors this season?
Oh, come on, man. Is there a Herb?
Those maybe 35 minutes each.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Maybe, so I thought you were 40. Saying I thought you were saying it rhetorically.
No, 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 no.
I thought
no,
you were pulling a Fitz here.
Oh. No, no, the you thought I wouldn't I was going
play
the other
any
way.
More than but
no, 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 no. Because if you think about it, this way. Trey Murphy's just a better version of Moses Moody. He's got a quicker release, he's a better shooter, he's longer, he's better defensively,
and significantly better athlete. And I'm loving while him, having a better shot and being bigger. Yeah.
Like all those things. And then Herb Jones is what's Herb Jones? Like a tall GP2? And he's healthy.
I mean, he might be the next Iguodala.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, he's one of the best defenders you're going to see, and he's just a smart player all around.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. Those two guys are ridiculous. It's why Brandon Ingram is getting traded, because as long as Zion's healthy, they're obviously not doing anything if Zion is healthy. But yeah, I think you could say, because the evaluation of those players is a bigger mess up, because it never felt like Halliburton was going to go two. So even if you give him grace and say, okay, they picked that guy at two, Kuminga at 7 and Moody at 14, Trey Murphy and those, like, they're all in the same, they were all in the same spot. That's the thing. They could have drafted all those guys in the same spot. And actually, I'll throw you one more. And this is a guy that I love. I'll throw you Jaden McDaniels. And now it's a different draft. It's 2020, but he's someone that was drafted 28th. And I'm watching the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's actually the series I was going to point to as I enjoy watching, because they are beating
the shit. You just like watching KD get bullied.
They are beating the shit out of the Suns.
That was really impressive. Yeah.
They might be the best team in the West outside of the Nuggets right now. And that's why they're so impressive to me. But go back to your point is Jaden McDaniels. He would play how many minutes for the Warriors, right? Like that's another guy that who's better defensively, Jaden McDaniels or Herb Jones? I don't know, but they're both top five defenders in the NBA. I don't know.
You know who had two picks? You know who up two picks after Jaden McDaniels? Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
He'd play. Now we can play this game of, no one was going to take Desmond Bane in the lottery.
Sure.
Okay. I get that. But the point is, you were given premium assets with the opportunity to rebuild your team, knowing you had Steph Curry, Draymond Green in their primes. You didn't really know what you had with Clay because of the injury, but you were hopeful, right? The player evaluation was wrong. Like I said, 2020, F. You didn't like the guy. You dumped him. You have nothing for that draft. You reacquired a guy you had on your roster. You know, like, no. It doesn't matter if he ends up being good in 3 years. It's an F for you. Yeah. At best, you can give him like a C minus for the other two at this stage, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
It's frustrating for me because the playoffs is officially littered with guys from those two drafts that we've spent so much time talking about. Franz Wagner, you know, who else comes? They never had a shot. Evan Mobley, but he came to my mind.
Hey, he's playing well.
I'm thinking about that series in my head. You know, Jalen Suggs. You mentioned Jaden McDaniels. Tyrese Maxey was in that draft. You know, obviously Tyrese Halliburton. You know, more and more we're going to see that draft be the one that like those two drafts. Like, yeah, of course, it's their league now.
So my observation was the changing of the guard, right? It was Steph, KD, LeBron. A lot of people are talking about it. Steph, KD, LeBron. Steph's done already. LeBron's about to get swept or lose in 5, maybe 6 tops. And that's against Jokic, who's obviously going to be the best player of this next generation. And then the third one is KD against the Timberwolves, where they have no shot. The Suns have no shot. I think the Suns might have been a slight favorite going into that series. There's no chance they win that series. And I'm not saying it's because of Jaden McDaniels, but I do say like that. That's when you talk about where the NBA is going. Like those guys just aren't good enough now. It's where the NBA is going. And then to tie it to your point, the Warriors had a perfect opportunity to get those guys that were going to push them in. Because like the Suns and Lakers, like they don't have the assets, right? They don't have. They didn't draft any of the guys.
Yeah. They blew all their assets on acquiring multiple stars and then just having nothing left.
And the Warriors were like, we're not going to do it that way. So, okay, great. You didn't do it that way, but you got to pick the
Yeah, NBA exactly. Like, I think in their mind, they thought they could be like what the Wolves are, where this is a very imperfect analogy. But, like, Gobert and Kat are veteran stars, right? but then Ant and Jaden are young legs to go around it. Like, that's like, that was the dream scenario. You get like Steph and Draymond, but then you get a couple young guys who fit around them, and it extends the whole thing, right? Well, didn't happen. So, yeah. You know what? I think I'm gonna pick the Lakers to win Game 3.
Oh man!
But what I'm definitely picking is, I think it's gonna be a good one. These are my plays tonight for Prize Picks.
What you got?
Going a little, Anthony Davis on the over. I think he's gonna have a big game. I think that fourth quarter, the big takeaway is he just didn't get any touches. They're gonna try to get him scoring. I don't know how much it matters, but I think he's gonna have a big offensive night in general. And then I'm going to go with Jokic with the assists. The Lakers sell out against him a little more than anyone else. He had 10 assists last game. Part of this is also Murray is starting to come around. So it just feels like a 15 assist Jokic night for me.
Yeah.
And that's my play.
I love it. I love it. Promo code light years. Pretty easy, right? Promo code light years. First deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. And we are brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Earlier this year, went to go see Wemby, waited around to the last minute, waited around with about an hour to Game Time. Because I live at least like a 30-minute drive away, take a Caltrain, it's like 45 minutes tops, gets you right in front of the arena. Get some great tickets for cheap. You can do that with the Giants. I say it every time. You can go, again, same thing, same area. Takes you right there. Just wait until an hour. Hell, get on Caltrain and go on Game Time. And then find some great tickets. Sit lower box. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
So my second observation from the playoffs, so far, week one observations for the playoffs. There's been a lot of debate about how small ball no longer works. It's a small player is dead. You need a big, that sort of thing. And I just want to remind everyone, OKC and Boston are the top two seeds. They play small. Still works, but you need the athleticism and length to actually do it, is my take in general there. Small ball does not work if it's with a bunch of 38-year-olds, you know? Small ball does not work if it's with a bunch of 6'3 guards. It does work if you got wings like Shea, Lou Dort, and Jalen Williams, who really get after it. They're long. They're a little bigger than their listed height, that sort of thing. It does work if you got Jrue Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Derek White, guys who are all play bigger than their height and can utilize their athleticism and their length to advantage versus a bigger team. So I don't know. I feel like everyone loves to say like, oh, centers are dead. Oh, actually small ball is dead. Yeah. You have good players. You do the right things on basketball. It'll work.
I do think, though, it kind of similar to Steph being small guy can't win a championship. Well, there's Steph, but it's like, well, it's just Steph. I do think there's, and maybe we'll see this in 2 weeks. Jokic might just annihilate small ball, but only Jokic can do that. Right. And so I'd be curious to see that. Maybe we get the Nuggets in OKC. I'm not totally sold on OKC, but because like, what if Zion plays? Does he just go for 50 against the Thunder? But I get your point. So is it just going to be Jokic where, yeah, this stuff is still going to work, but it's just not going to work against Jokic. So I'd be curious. It'd be interesting.
Playing big doesn't work against Jokic either.
No.
No, it might just be a Jokic. Like I'm just gonna put it this way: if you're playing the Denver Nugget, or sorry, wow, if you're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I think are like they're a big ass team, right? And they're kind of traditional, but their center is not Jokic. You know, it's Rudy Gobert. Is the best way to play them being big, or is it spacing them out with athletes?
Well, is there? I got to look at. The I mean, bracket. Like, to, is there a way they play the person?
Yeah,
did he play the Wolves and the Thunder? Like, can they end up playing both of those teams? Because that'll be interesting. Either one, because that's what you're saying. Is it better to play Gobert on him? Which obviously Gobert can't guard him, but at least he'll give him something more than Holmgren. But Holmgren's gonna pull him out, and that OKC offense is amazing, right? And so it's like interesting to see which one, and then you know,
let's say go one on one in an open lane against like Jamal Murray, stuff like that. Like they're gonna get theirs doing that. So
yeah,
I mean, it's not. I don't think it's that simple. It never is, but I think your point's probably well taken, which is just like Jokic is one of one. Don't like make declarations about the league because he does certain things.
Well, that go back in time to 2015. It's like the Warriors, they had Steph, but who was around Steph? Prime Clay, prime Iguodala, prime Draymond, and Harry B, who was, and then if not Harry B, it was KD, who, you know, crazy. All right, I got one for you. Another obvious one. You're picking the cool ones. I'm picking the obvious ones. How much better is Eric Spoelstra than any other head coach in the NBA today? Is he $10 million better? Is he a mid-level exception better? Is he a max contract player better than everyone else in the NBA today in terms of coaching? I don't know, but I watched that Miami Heat game last night. And you can say that, hey, it's players making shots, but Samuel, every player was wide open. Every single, I think Spo goes and gets in the lab every postseason and he looks at Boston and he sees food. He's just like, I'm going to undress Mazzulla. And he knows what the Boston Celtics struggle with. And he's going to say, yeah, Porzingis, kind of a joke on defense. This is the playoffs. Jrue Holiday, kind of overrated on ball defensively. Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter, everybody already knew, can't get a shot. And he's just like, we're just going to drag you guys in the mud. We're just going to shoot 50 wide open threes and make 25 of them. And they're going to walk away with a split 1-1. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And Bam is the perfect player for him too, because he's just wired like that. Like, didn't Bam was guarding Tatum 1-on-1. And then he was guarding Porzingis. Like the way Draymond does stuff, not like just switching. He's such a good player. Yeah. I mean, I think they're just, two things. One, they're always the toughest team. He's always going to be like, he's always got his guys ready to like die on the court, right? He's like, I don't care who's over there. And with Boston, he knows he can bully them a little bit. He knows he can get in their head pretty quick, right? Like they know they can get in Boston's head. The second thing is what you're saying, which is they're just the most prepared team in the league. This was from Porzingis today. I just want to play it real quick because I think this sums him up. And I wonder if we ever hear this about the Warriors.
I almost like to get away from basketball a little bit. Like, just rest. I always do my same routine. Like nothing changed for me. Good game, bad game. I stay the same. And we just looked at the things, what we can do better. I looked at my possessions. I'll make sure I'm better offensively. 100%.
What are your takeaways? What do you think you need to do to approach it better in game three?
Again, I don't want to like give away too much. Obviously, like the game plan we're following pretty well. Just some small moments throughout the game that we can definitely do better. But it's just getting a little bit stagnant, falling into their game a bit too much, maybe. And then make us think also, you know, they do this on one possession, then do another thing on another possession, then they switch, then they don't. So it's like, you know, it's that can freeze you a little bit because you start to like think a little bit, then you rush a little bit into the next
action. They're getting cooked by gimmicks, Sam. They're getting cooked by gimmicks.
Like the game, like in the game, you know, and they're good at that. So you have to give them credit, but we'll see going forward.
Yeah. I mean, I probably should have cut that quote in half and just played the second half. But I thought that was interesting because it's just like they make you think so much. They always do so many different things, which is a supposed staple.
Supposed special, right? He throwing stuff at the wall and he's doing it in the playoffs, which is, you know, I don't want to make it a Warriors venting stuff, but it's really not because no team has Spo. I mean, no team has Spo. That's what it is. The Light Years podcast, we are brought to you by Unified. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System or EE System. The technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. So if you're in the Bay, we got hundreds of other locations across the globe. Access to that center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more. Find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
All right, give me my last one here. My last one is Denver is my favorite to win it all, unless something weird happens, you know, Domantas Sabonis sweat on the floor, something like that.
Dude, what the
why would you bring that?
By the way, Monty Eunice, I think it was actually. Do you remember Monty Eunice? That's who
was the thing.
So good player. Anyway, go.
He was. What was I gonna say? They're just beyond Jokic being the best player in the league, their starting five is just perfect. It fits together well. They never have any questions. Like they always have the exact lineup they want to go to. Jamal Murray is a perfect co-star. Michael Porter Jr.'s top three shooter in the league working off ball. Aaron Gordon, one of the best front court defenders you're going to see, knows how to cut playoff ball next to him. And KCP is as good an on-ball defender as you're going to find guarding point of attack, can hit shots. The whole thing works perfectly. And it's just like a reminder that like depth is cool, but having that five-man lineup you can go to is the most important thing in the playoffs. Everything else is window dressing at the end of the day.
You know, I'm going to push back a little bit on this one. I agree that they're a perfect fit together, but it is the first round. Let's see how long they last. You know, let's see. What if they go up against Minnesota? I'm in love with Minnesota today. What if they go up against Minnesota in round three? And I know Jokic is in prime. Murray is in his prime. All these guys are in their prime. They're not old. But what if the minutes get up there and it's game six and they're in Minnesota or no, it would actually be in Denver if it's game six. But I'm just saying, like, the minutes adding up, maybe they go fatigue, right? It's multiple seasons now that they're playing deep.
It'd be in Minnesota game six. So
Minnesota's the three seed. I'm thinking of OKC. So if it was OKC, I'm thinking of OKC. But I don't know. The fatigue stuff might catch up. It just might catch up to them. It's the only thing. Maybe I'm kind of hoping. Maybe I'm projecting. Maybe I'm hoping that Jokic doesn't go back to back. But you're right. I mean, it's funny though, because the Lakers also have no depth. So it's kind of hilarious. So it's like,
sure. So
it's like, and these series, once you get deeper in the series, they got all cut down. All right. I'm going to drop you one last one. And I was thinking about this as I'm watching some of these younger teams. I think the Warriors are more than one player away. I think the Warriors are multiple players away, contending for a championship. Sam, and part of this is me really not believing that those younger guys are going to make these crazy leaps. Honestly, like, I'm watching Herb Jones play defense, and I just don't see the Warriors having a guy like that on the roster today that can stay healthy. I'm watching Jalen Williams as the number two guy next to Shea, and his handle is extraordinary, especially for a second-year player. It's so impressive the way he can just get to the mid-range, get to the paint. And I just think the Warriors, like, okay, they get Brandon Ingram. So what? Like, to me, it feels like they need another guy. Do they have another real three-point shooter? Do they have another big man that they can play? Do they have another wing guy that plays defense? And so to me, it just feels like the Warriors aren't just a Brandon Ingram away, which I think is like the hot name. The hot name du jour.
It is the name of the week. It is Brandon Ingram week.
I was going to say, it's Brandon Ingram week. I think even if they get Brandon
Ingram. On the internet. Yeah.
Obviously, it depends who they have to give up and stuff like that. But it just feels like when I'm watching these teams, I'm watching Minnesota. I think the Warriors might have lost in four, and they would have lost each game by 18 points. And so I'm just like, how do they go up against a Minnesota? And it ain't getting Brandon Ingram. Just getting Brandon Ingram. I would like them to.
You could make the counterpoint though that if they got an impact player who was like the undisputed number two, it makes life a lot easier for Wiggins, and maybe he goes or Clay, and maybe they go back to being the player that they're capable of being instead of the largely disappointing player they were this year because they were asked to do too much. You know, Wiggins' best year, 2022, people forget when they say who's the second best player on the title run. He was the fourth leading scorer. He took the fourth most shots. He did have his nights where he got 25. I'm not saying he was invaluable, but the offense was built around Steph, Poole, Clay. Two of them were always on the floor at all times, playing well. Yeah. And then he got to play off the Havoc.
Well, you're right.
Offense comes easier to him. Maybe that gets him playing good defense again. That's just one example. We saw how well Trayce Jackson-Davis played. No one needs Trayce to be Gobert. What if Trayce can just be that athletic guy who's smart next to Draymond? Does that solve it? I think I agree with you that they need more than one impact player, but let's start with one and see if there isn't kind of this slotting effect to the other guys. Like part of me feels like if they, we'll use Ingram's name because, you know, this is Brandon Ingram week on the internet, you know, that people assume he's going to be gettable if the Pelicans flail out and, you know, he's a year away from an extension. It's a little like the Siakam situation where it's very unclear if the Pelicans want to pay him and all that.
You know what? Before you make that point, you know what would annoy me if they do make that move is that they could have just done that for Siakam, who was also 1 year away, and Siakam's double the player that Ingram is. It would annoy me.
Do you think he is?
I think so, yeah. Okay, maybe twice as good as a lot, Sam, but like Siakam's a playoff player.
He is. I mean, Siakam's older. 3.5 years older.
Older, sure.
And he's clearly a 4-5, whereas Ingram is a 3.
Just a 3.
I don't know if, you know, pluses and minuses to both. I'm not going to – Siakam's a better player right now. Yeah, he is. Okay. They've both been one-time All-Stars.
I can't believe you're pulling that out.
I don't know.
One has won a championship. I saw him cook Draymond in real time.
Yeah, as like a third or fourth option.
Yeah, for Van Vliet was really a option one that series. If they're gonna do it for Ingram, I question it. But I would be very happy. I would be if they do that move. But for your point about slotting
and
guys,
it's not just Ingram. It could be Lowry Markkanen. Could be Carl. Like they just, you know, pick a name, right?
Yeah.
Just someone that's clearly better than the current version of Wiggins and Clay on offense, where they're the undisputed like number two next to Steph.
Yeah, I mean Lowry is the perfect fit. We'll do Lowry week at some point in May. But when Ange
leaks that he's interested in trading him,
like it just, you know, like that's the last guy I would want to trade with. But hey, I'm sure the Warriors love Lowry. There's like, I doubt the Warriors loved Siakam. I doubt the Warriors love Ingram. I'm gonna be honest with you, but I can assure you that they're looking at Lowry Markkanen and be like, yo, this is the guy. I mean, honestly, I doubt that they love Kuminga. Honestly, I don't think they're truthful in that they love Kuminga. But Lowry, I mean,
Lowry's shooting numbers are on par with prime Clay and Kevin Durant. Like, okay. It's not even like I'm not saying he's the player they were because he's not. Defensively, he's definitely not. But if you want to talk taking 8 threes a game, taking 20 jumpers a game and still hitting them at freaking 50%+. Yeah, he's on like a very short list of guys who can like really, really shoot and like move off ball. You know what I'm saying? Like that's he knows how to like all his off ball metrics basically are the same as Clay, which like, I don't know. You watch him play once, you see it. He comes off a pin down. Shoot,
because
you know,
Lowry's not an American player. That's why he's a foreign player. So of course he know how. Come on now. So let's this last option. Instead of the Warriors being one player away, maybe my point is they are one really good player away. That player being Lowry Markkanen. But if you're telling me that one player that they're getting is like Ingram or like DeMar DeRozan, then I'm gonna tell you they're more than one player, right? Like even Zach LaVine, you could throw in that bucket where it's like they get Zach LaVine, I would love it, but it's like But it's like Lowry, if you're telling me they can get Lowry, okay, now that's like, all right, now you're talking about like almost a star player, or Karl-Anthony Towns, who's more of a star player, right? But better than
I think Lowry and Ingram are stars.
Wow, you're putting Lowry and Ingram in the same bucket.
I mean, two things Ingram does significantly better than Lowry.
Dribble.
Shot creation in general. You could do, you know how like the whole second half of the year they start every game with Steph setting a screen for Wiggins or Kuminga and they get a layup?
Yes.
Imagine them doing it for a guy with an actual handle. Right? Imagine Steph doing it for a guy with an actual handle. You know, he's a good passer too. Like he can play make out of that. He also holds the ball too much.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you.
But I kind of like the idea of like, that's something Steve can coach out of a guy more so than he can't teach a guy who can't dribble to dribble.
I watched Ingram dribble against Jalen Williams. It was rough, but that was him as the first option, right? Sure. Like to your point, that was, but then it's like most teams are going to have, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Cause like if the Warriors were in the situation where they're playing the Thunder next year, it'd be great. It'd be a good thing for the Warriors. Cause you know where the Warriors are at. They're, you and I, they're with you and I, they're sitting on the couch.
Yeah. All right. I say we leave it there. Appreciate everyone. Make sure to click subscribe. Appreciate you guys.